Hi, guys. All right.
Hello.
Hey, Steve.
Three, good. Okay, just another minute.
We've got everybody here.
There we go.
Five, six, seven.
Thank you.
I think we have quorum.
Oh, that's just wonderful.
Hey, in case anybody wanted to know, today I turned 48 years old.
Wow. Congratulations.
Happy birthday.
Oh boy, Sam, I feel it.
Director McShane, beware the Ides of March.
Oh, true story. Well, we'll go ahead and get started because I have 1:30 p.m. This meeting is being held under Governor Newsom's AB 361 provisions. I just want to thank everybody for attending. We are the Monterey Bay Air Resources District meeting, 1:30 p.m., March 16th, 2022. We'll go ahead and start with the pledge. So let's see, Sam, you want to lead us in the pledge? Face your nearest flag or put one up on the screen. Siri, if you got one.
I'm going to try.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, please. I'm going to stand.
So. Okay, me too.
All right. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Great. Thank you so much. Thank you, Siri. Why don't you go ahead and call the roll?
Right. Director Brown.
Here.
Thank you. Director Story?
Here.
Director SQ? Director SQ? Okay, I'll come back. Director Phillips?
Sorry, that's yes, I'm here.
Okay,
I'm
gonna hit my button
on mute. Thank you.
Director Phillips? Director Lopez?
Here.
Director Labar?
Present.
Director Friend?
Here.
Director Coonerty?
Here.
Director Carbone?
Here.
Director Kosmicki?
Here.
Director Phillips? Okay, we do have quorum.
Thank you very much. We'll go ahead and start with public comment. Any members of the public that wish to comment on items not on the agenda, now's your chance. We'll just see if there's any hands. See if you see any as well.
I don't see any, and we did not receive anything at the district office.
Okay, we didn't have a budget, personnel, or nominating committee meeting, so nothing to report there. Rich, how about the advisory committee?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the board. The advisory committee did meet on March 3rd, and they received the presentation that you will receive today on AB 2766 and provided their comments on that program.
Thank you. Any questions? Go to the public. Looking real quick. Nothing there. Okay.
And so, Director Phillips just joined us.
Great. Okay. So just comments and referrals from any of the board members. I'll be very brief. I was able to join Director Phillips for a tour of the Vistra facility in Moss Landing. It's just terrific what they're doing out there. It is a new technology, but for what the use of the facility was and what it is now, and certainly as they've shown themselves to be very innovative, progressive, and in line with the region, I have to say it was very, very impressive. I think it built out, it's over 1,000 megawatts of battery storage. So it's where we need to be, and It was a good visit. I'll just also say yesterday, I was able to spend an hour and a half with Miles Coe, I think is his last name. And he's the executive director of the National Association of Clean Air Agencies. Rich was a 2-year chair of that organization. And I will just say that our Clean Air Act is tremendously underfunded, which means the states, those states that have air districts and the regions that have air districts are picking up the tab. And we've got work to do. It was a lobby day, so to speak, in DC with the city, and I piled onto that. So I expressed to Congressman Panetta and to Congresswoman Zoe Lofgren that, you know, we need to do more. You know, as I understand it, $230 million is what the federal government chips in for clean air. And I think California is paying at least twice that. So I got a little bit of history on clean air going back to the 1910s in the Midwest for smoke abatement, leading up into ultimately 1970 when the National Clean Air Act was founded. So it was just a really fun and unique opportunity to represent our district and clean air. You know, it affects everybody. And according to Miles, you know, causes at least 100,000, if not more, like double that, premature deaths a year, certainly for kids, seniors, and those that are susceptible. So that's it in Cliff Notes. I'll just leave it at that. So unless anybody else has anything, just touching on the consent agenda, we have 5 items. Would anybody like to pull an item from the consent agenda? Don't see. Okay. In public, you see anything there? Let me just look real quick. Don't see anything. So we'll come back for a motion.
I'll move the consent agenda.
Thank you.
Second.
Okay. Moved by Brown, seconded by Lopez. Siri, let's go ahead and call the roll. Oh, did we lose her? Wait, hang on. Siri? Okay. What do you say, Rich?
Yeah. Shane, how about if we go circle back to my report?
And... Oh, sorry. Yeah, did I? Yeah, let's do that. Thank you. Okay.
I thought he was just cutting you out, you know.
I guess. I was hopefully that'll give Siri enough time to do what she's doing.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I thank you, Chair McShane and members of the board. I'll try to be brief. I've got a couple things to talk about. Engineering, we're looking at our final rule on best available retrofit control technology. We brought this to the board in the past, and you guys approved our implementation schedule for rule development. We're looking at lime kilns out at La Hoist and their Natividad plant. We're collecting and reviewing information about control technologies for lime kilns, and we're working with the facility, and we've had some really good and productive meetings with them. The California Air Resources Board finalized gasoline service station industry-wide risk assessment technical guidance document, and this provides us with the methodology for our risk review of toxic air contaminants released from gas stations, and supports our AB 2588 Air Toxics Hotspots program, which you've heard about in the past, may not remember, but it'll be coming to you soon. Compliance, we received 3 applications for our Open Inspector 1-2 position, which closed on March 9th. So not a lot, but looks like we've got a pretty good, the 3 that did apply are pretty qualified. My standing item here for the agenda is we received 6 odor complaints from marina residents since the last board meeting. We actually anticipate this type of complaints or number of complaints because the meteorological conditions. We typically receive most of the complaints in the months of October to March when the winds in the northerly direction. So in the months of April to September, the wind is more predominantly from the west and we received fewer complaints. I've actually experienced the odor driving on Highway 1. coming back from Santa Cruz on Thursday night. So it's it can be pretty bad. Planning and air monitoring, the electric vehicle incentive program is charging along, and we're obligated over half the fund. So we've got about 200,000 remaining. Good news about our electric bicycle incentive program, we've actually more than doubled the amount of qualified applicants. So at this point, we've approved 9 applications. Last time we only had 4. So we've got about $41,000 remaining in that program. We hope to see a lot more interest, and hope next time I tell you that we're getting a lot of those bikes funded. For personnel in the planning division, I just wanted to mention that we've got Tyrone Bell. He's been promoted to air quality planner. I don't know if he's on the call. If you are, just wave your hand. He's been with the district for about 2.5 years as an air quality technician. He went to college at North Carolina State University, graduated from Defense Language Institute, where he studied Farsi. And prior work, he was in the U.S. Army Veterinary Corps as a veterinary food inspection specialist. Also, I'm really happy we've brought on a new employee. Her name is Irene Miranda, and she was recently hired as a Planner 1. She's got her bachelor's in biology from UCLA, her PhD in environmental health science from UCLA. She developed marine protected areas while working with the Department of Fish and Wildlife. And she was just most recently an air pollution control specialist at Siskiyou County APCD. So we're really happy to have her here, and she's got a great attitude, and she's hit the ground running. So all luck to her. Celebrated Employee Appreciation Day, and we had a lunch for all employees back on March 4th. It was a really great gathering, and we had some swag. So it was a really a great time, especially after COVID, where we could get together and celebrate. So that was really productive. And then also, some may have seen our news release on this, but the district received a district transparency certificate of excellence by the Special District Leadership Foundation in recognition of its outstanding efforts to promote transparency and good governance. Sorry, I'm tongue-tied today. This was mainly a huge application process we had to go through. And I say we, I mean Siri. We had to go through a lot of work to document all of our procedures and policies. And once that was handed off to them, they evaluated it. And then we received this certificate of excellence. So I think that's really nice. We have that. We did a press release. We'll have that on our website as well. We're in production phase of our electronic newsletter, which will be coming out around April 1st. And we also hope, we try to do this every year. We haven't been able to do it for the past couple of years, but we do an office cleanup day on April 1st. Typically, we're going to do it on March 31st. The staff comes in and we actually go through all our old documents, looking at our retention schedule and policy, making sure that we're cleaning up our electronic files. That's what we're really going to concentrate on this year. The first few years or several years that we did this, we had truckloads of paper to recycle. And we've gotten pretty good at maintaining those paper piles, but we've neglected our electrons living in our computers. So we're going to be hopefully complying with our retention schedule for electronic documents, as well as making our capacity for our servers have better storage. And then I mentioned at the last board meeting that the next day that California was going to receive the waiver back to regulate vehicles. That didn't happen until this week. So it's been almost a month. There was a lot of delay, and I'm told that the automobile manufacturers were really contesting this decision with the Biden administration to reverse what was previously done in the Trump administration. But California's published rulemaking to allow us to get back and have that waiver from the Federal Clean Air Act to enable us to regulate motor vehicle emissions and develop zero emission vehicle technology. So that's good news for California. And then I just wanted to let you know, we stay up on all the legislative issues at the in California with the California Air Pollution Control Officers Association. There's a bill right now. It's AB 2550. Arambula is the author, and that's going to strengthen CARB's oversight of local air districts, which is there's sort of some tension between CARB and the local air districts. As you may know, California Air Resources Board regulates motor vehicle emissions and climate change. They do greenhouse gas emissions. They do not want the local air districts doing either of these, so we end up regulating what's called stationary sources. Ironically, more oversight is not really needed by the state. Most of the lion's share of emissions are from mobile sources that are regulated by the state. So we're sort of confused by this, but we don't want to give up local control or authority. I think the board would agree. If you don't, please let me know. But I'll keep you updated on the developments. This is just a spot bill now, so it may not go anywhere. But there's been some tension, as I said, between the Officers Association and California Air Resources Board, and we want to keep it more collaborative than adversarial. So that concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Rich. Any questions or comments? Yep, Marianne?
Yes, just a comment. With the AB 2550 bill, I know that there's a California City Summit coming up. I believe it's next month. That's legislation based. And so I would encourage anyone elected official to, if you could, to try and make it up there to Sacramento. I believe registration's open now for that. And I encourage others to go out there because they've got quite a surplus up at the state. I think about a $26 billion surplus, and they're asking the elected officials what they want to do with it. So it's a great time to get up there and speak with the legislators.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Other board members? There we go. Yeah, Director Brown?
Just really quickly, I'd say thank you, Marianne, for the that update. I heard I was in the Area Agency on Aging meeting this morning, and the surplus is now up to $40 billion, just FYI. So, yeah.
I heard 44.
Yeah, I got... I got 40 billion this morning. I don't know. So, but there, yeah, there is money, and it's now is a good time to be advocating. Thanks.
Through the chair. Yes, they're saying that it's tripling daily. So yeah, those dollars are increasing.
Well, any other comments, questions? Rich, just because I know it came up at one point, was there a discussion about going to every other month for meetings?
Yes, Mr. Chair, we're looking into that currently. Some air districts have done that, Santa Barbara, most notably. We're trying to square it away with the legislative requirements that at this point, I believe it requires 10 meetings per year, so we're dark in January and July, but I think there is a way that we can go to meetings every other month, because our agendas are not that full as they used to be. We don't have as much business coming through as far as controversial issues or planning issues. So I'm looking into that, and I hope to report back to the board next month on my findings. I'll be working.
Even if we had placeholders or something. Yeah. And then, of course, I know we've talked about trying to get everybody back together too. I mean, I think a lot of boards have done that.
Right. Well, okay. I'll be trying to get, of course, if the governor's order goes away, then we're going to not have any protection under AB 361. But we'll be looking at the very least. I know some directors have expressed interest in still participating remotely, because especially when the short agenda items driving, you know, an hour and a half to the office for a 15-minute meeting is not consistent with our mission and trying to save fuel. So we're going to look at maintaining a hybrid. That's always a lot of work for us, even though we've got it somewhat automated. But we'll try to get dust off the owls or the
owls. Yeah, that's right.
Used in the past. So as I said, it usually requires one operator for the owl and then another operator for the presentations and so forth. So we'll be working on that, and we'll be ready to go should that be lifted. Or I guess the other component of that is if the health officer in Monterey County is no longer recommending that people social distance for public meetings.
Great. Thank you, Rich. Okay. Let's just see if there's any public on this real quick. Nope, I think we're good there. So now we have the consent agenda. There's five items. I don't think anybody wanted anything pulled. And public, no. Okay, so we need a motion on the consent agenda.
So moved.
We had it Brown and
Lopez seconds.
Lopez second, got it. So there we go, Siri.
Thank you. I will take the call. Director Story.
Aye.
Director Phillips.
Aye.
Director Lopez.
Aye.
Director Labar. Director
Labar. Aye.
Thank you. Director Kosmicki.
Aye.
Director Eskew.
Aye.
Chair McShane.
Yeah.
Director Friend.
Aye.
Director Carbone.
Aye.
Director Coonerty.
Aye.
Director Brown.
Aye.
Unanimously passed.
Thank you, Siri. We have two items on our regular agenda. We'll go to the first item, which is some changes to our AB2766 revenues and implementation. Rich, you want to kick that off?
Yeah, so David Frisbee, our planning section division manager, will be giving the report today. And this occurs every year. When we go through this, as some board members may recall, this could be quite spirited in the past. And now we're looking at comment or input on our design of our programs and some of the money since we're coming up on the budget development period. So the board's input on this will be highly valuable. So David.
All right. Good afternoon and happy birthday, Chairman McShane, and good afternoon, members of the board. This is our annual kickoff for the AB 2766 program, which is the motor vehicle emission reduction program. The AB 2766 passed in 1990, so it's now in its 32nd year. As MBAR does not regulate emissions from transportation, AB 2766 provides an opportunity to offer incentives to reduce emissions from transportation. Over the last 32 years, the board has granted $39.2 million to 604 projects. Giving effective emission reductions from transportation. So at this point, I'm actually going to hand over the presentation to our planner, Chris Dumich. And so, Chris, take it away.
Thanks, David. I'll just share my screen quickly. Can you guys see my screen?
Not yet.
How about now?
There we go. Okay.
Good afternoon, Chair McShane, members of the board. My name is quality planner for the district. Today I'm going to go over our proposal for this year's AB 2766 grant program. As David mentioned, this is our 32nd reducing vehicle emission 66. And our objective for this program is to solicit and find cost effective projects. Can you guys still hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm giving a message on my other screen, so I'm just going to ignore that.
We lost your presentation.
Lost you for a second there. It's now off.
Is it off or on?
No, we need to share your screen again.
Yes, a Zoom quit unexpectedly. Let's try this again.
There's something wrong with Zoom because it knocked me off for a few minutes too. Okay.
Can you see it again?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. So the California Health and Safety Code 44220 allows that $4 per vehicle of DMV registration fees fund our program. So that's where we get our funding. This slide shows our program outline. So the AB 2766 funds the Clean Air Management Program, as well as the Clean Vehicle Program. The Clean Air Management Program is predominantly infrastructure-based, roundabout design and construction, adaptive traffic signal controls, but also provides funding for public agency and private sectors to fund things such as school buses, electric trolleys, trash trucks. And our Clean Vehicle Program funds our EV voucher replacement program for public agencies, as well as our EVIP program, light duty personal electric vehicles, hybrid, also hydrogen, in addition to our electric motorcycle and electric bicycle program. Now, the next slides are just going to highlight some of the projects funded through AB 2766 in the past. So this is a roundabout project conducted for the city in the city of Soledad, as well a roundabout project for the city of Salinas. And here we have some adaptive traffic signal control projects for the city of Monterey. This breakdown references the estimated emission reductions in tons per year of reactive organic gases, NOx, PM 2.5 at each location of the four adaptive traffic signal control projects in Monterey. Here are two more adaptive traffic signal control projects. This is in the city of Watsonville along Freedom and Green Valley Road. As well, city of Capitola had two corridors that received adaptive traffic signal control. City of Santa Cruz received two electric trolley. This is just some information about the type and when they were delivered. AB 2766 also funded four electric buses for MST, and so far two have been delivered. City of Salinas received some medium fleet trucks, two flatbeds and one box truck. And the Environmental Defense Fund reported that by ensuring 100% new medium and heavy duty zero emission vehicle sales by 2040, the estimated benefits achieved by 2050 would cause a prevention of almost 60,000 premature deaths, almost 5 billion metric tons of pollution eliminated, including a reduction of 10 million tons of NOx and 200,000 tons of PM, in addition to saving almost $500 billion in health and environmental benefits. And I put the link down at the bottom if anybody wants to read the report. On to our district electric vehicle incentive program. This chart shows you the historic EVIP incentive amounts versus the number of applications received over time. And this year, at this point, we have received 179 applications. I believe 177 were approved. The e-bike program, as Rich has mentioned, has increased by well over 100%. We were at four applications when I did this presentation to the advisory committee, and now we're up to 10 applications. And we believe that the recent increase is due to that we've accepted various methods of low income verification rather than just going through Central Coast Energy Services. So our electric bike incentive program, this is what we're proposing for the next year. We, in addition to providing an incentive for low-income qualified, we wanted to open it up district-wide. So if you're not low-income, you could receive a $500 incentive, and there will be an additional $500 incentive for those that are low-income qualified. The same stipulations apply as far as the e-bike must be purchased new. It must be purchased locally from an established e-bike retailer, and there's a $1,000 minimum cost for the electric bicycle, and it's limited to classes 1 through 3. And the pictures are of some of our recipients of this year's program. So this is our proposed breakdown for the program funding and the incentives. We're going to receive $1.2 million, and we have it broken down, the Clean Air Management Program. And per program, we have it $400,000 per program. The Clean Vehicle Program, what we are proposing is to increase the incentives for light duty hydrogen vehicles to $2,500. The electric vehicles, the new, to $2,000. Used would be $1,000. Plug-in hybrid would be, the new would be $1,000 versus $700 for used. And the electric motorcycles, we are proposing to increase it from $300 to $1,000 based on a comment received by the advisory committee. The electric bikes, as I mentioned, will be $500 or $1,000 for low income. The one comment we did receive from the advisory committee was just basically a question as to how we determine the amount of incentive based on the type of vehicle. It was noted that electric motorcycles are quite costly, yet we had a fairly low incentive. So we took that in consideration, and we're proposing a $1,000 incentive for the electric motorcycles. This is our budget allocation by county for this year's funding. And as before, the way we determine the amount is based on county population. We use the population to determine a percentage of the funding, and this is how it breaks down for this next year. And that concludes my presentation, and I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Chris. It's good to have the insight of the advisory council as well. Let's get feedback from board members. Let's see. You may want to stop sharing. Well, we might need the screen, so let's just see. Okay, there we go. Okay. Any questions or feedback there? Okay, I see Director Askew. Why don't we start with you?
Thank you. So just a question. So I know that we've focused on, so there's the legislation that dictates what we can do with these dollars, but I also know that we've got a lot of work happening locally in the region around climate action plans and mitigation strategies. Do, as we're deciding in the future or in the past, how to prioritize what we're going to fund that's aligned with the legislation dictating these dollars, how do we, or are we looking to the mitigation measures that are in local climate action plans to help guide us? Can you explain a little bit more about how those two things, the interplay there?
Yeah, Rich?
Yeah, through the chair. We do not get involved with reviewing climate action plans. There's no money in it for us. One of the problems is even for project developments, we don't get any way to recover costs. And the state does not want us involved in climate change issues. So we're to regulate what's called criteria pollutants, which are the typical smog-forming pollutants and smog and also particulate matter. So we could open up a program, but we could not use those monies typically to regulate greenhouse gas pollutants for motor vehicles. Most of the motor vehicle emission reduction for the AB 2766 program, for instance, centers around NOx, nitrogen oxides, and particulate matter. It does not include CO2 or any other. So we've been pretty much excluded. Now, some districts have gone the extra mile to regulate or attempt to regulate CO2, and they've become embroiled with the lawsuits with the California Air Resources Board. But most notably, our neighbor to the north has combined CO2 with toxics emissions, and they're actually charging facilities now a CO2 fee, which the state does not like at all, since they have cap and trade, and they're already charging industry money for emissions of CO2. So it gets complicated really fast. So we don't have an active climate program, but we could, if that was the board's direction, we just have to be ready to weather some onslaught from the California Air Resources Board. And the reason being is too, I think that a lot of climate regulation needs to come be top down. I've seen a lot of climate action plans that have actually taken credit for emission reductions that have already been claimed by other climate action plans. So there's no real regulation. It really would help to have a top down. We did have a program in the past that was put on by the California Air Pollution Control Officers, which was called the Greenhouse Reduction Exchange Program, and that identified potential projects in the area where people could get emission credits for greenhouse gas reduction. That didn't really, it took the districts a lot of money. We sunk some money into that, and it wasn't used because climate, as you may know, especially when we're talking about all these various organizations, a lot of people, it's very competitive and people are trying to get the dollars. So there are other platforms available where you can get emissions trading and that sort of thing. And we couldn't compete with that. So I'm happy to, if you would like, bring back some proposals on what we could do in the arena of climate per se. But like I said, We've been trying to do that through our grant programs on mobile source emission reductions, such as vehicles. And of course, all those, we're getting emission reductions for criteria pollutants for the traffic signal synchronization, as well as roundabouts. But that's also, we're getting co-benefit of reduction in greenhouse gases. We're just not taking credit for that at this point.
Okay, so I think that's maybe part of like what I was asking. So when we're talking about the motor vehicle direct emission reduction, I know that there are parts of that. I'm not suggesting that we take on our own planning, but just I know that there are strategies being suggested in the regions that overlap with the Air District, and that if as we're planning out what we want to prioritize our 2766 funds for, that if we were lining those up with some of the goals that are that our regional partners are also sharing, that we could leverage our funds to help support those efforts.
And we have done that. We have done that in the past. We've given funding to the offset project. We've given a lot of funding out when it's relative, when we see the co-benefits. So for instance, 2766 is just for PM and NOx, but we realize too that you're getting a CO2 emission reduction. So we have gone out there. We partnered with, actually, it's the opposite for 3CE. They talk about climate change, and actually, they're seeing a lot of emission reductions in the area of criteria pollutants, and I'm always singing that, and that's why we got involved with that in the first place. So we're trying to partner where we can with 3CE and other organizations, but it does get really competitive, and we don't really have the staff to sit down and start evaluating all these projects based on CO2 emissions only.
Okay, got it. Thank you for that clarification.
Thank you, Rich. Any other questions or observations at this time, Marianne?
Yes, so just to piggyback on what Rich was saying there, with 3CE and MST, they have funded the electric buses that also helps with vehicle emissions, just through MBARD, so through a partnership.
And through the chair again, and this was maybe some direction from the board. We used to fund pretty heavily, and this was through AMBAG and some of the transportation agencies, but development of bike paths. So now we're funding bicycles, but we don't really have paths to ride on. So that's something that we could open the program up to. The only problem is it was a bit dubious in the past because we really had a hard time calculating what the emission savings really were with commuters on the road because there weren't good traffic counts. We actually gave a pretty nice contract to AMBAG, and we still got sort of not very conclusive results on that study. I should also mention that with our bike program right now, we are collecting data. We have surveys that go with the applications to see what people are using the bikes for and so forth. So we hope to have some data that we can refer to as we build the program and move forward. So it's not all lost, but with the board's direction, we could also open up the bike path or bicycle corridor funding portion of our AB 2766, because that does qualify under the state's program.
Thank you. I'm just looking over, Mary Ann, is that all, or do you have anything else?
No, I did have one more question. So I noticed that on the commuter bike path between Marine, the one that goes through state parks or along the freeway, that it is really starting to get very degraded. And I was wondering who funds the upkeep of the bike paths. I know that's a commuter path. Any idea, or, you know, is there, I don't know if they could get any help for doing that through MBARD.
We typically in the past have funded the initial deployment or installation of bike paths. That's a really good question. That has never come up as far as the maintenance of bike paths. Usually it's left to the developer or the city that has the bike path. And that's because of other reasons, namely liability issues. We don't, you know, if somebody gets hurt because they go into a pothole or something, that's going to be on the owner of that parcel. So it makes sense that they would keep it in good shape. It would be hard to justify maintenance on a bike path, because then you would have to show how is that going to result in direct emission benefits. It may. I don't know if people decide not to use a bike path because it's in disrepair or what have you. But we could look into that I report back to the board on that. But typically we don't get involved in maintenance or repair because it's not really directly related to emissions reductions, which this program is concerned with.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Ann. I'm looking for other hands, any questions or comments?
Through the chair again, sorry.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, your hand's blending in with the background.
Yeah, I had to change the color. Okay. I didn't see Supervisor Kosmicki raise his hand, but I know that when we had accepted applications for this in the past, it's been sometimes difficult to get applications that represent the full jurisdiction that we cover. And I just want to see in the application packet that's going out what strategies we can do to make sure that we're making these funds available to San Benito County specifically, but ensuring that we have equitable distribution and opportunity for applications.
I can respond to that, Rich. I can tell you that our plan in the planning division is to make a concerted effort to reach out to all the potential applicants in the region. And so specifically targeting the San Benito County and cities of Hollister and San Juan Bautista to see if they can get some projects going and applications in for our program.
Yeah, what we've heard in the past is that, you know, we did that last year as well, but we've heard that, you know, that 100,000 is not like what the other counties are getting. So it's difficult to get some of these projects going. We will do the outreach. We typically have, we go out to folks, and we also hold some workshops. So we'll definitely get the word out. The other thing is, with respect to equitable distribution or allocation, that is solely based on the population of the county. So that's the formula we use in calculating where the money goes.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank Supervisor Askew for that. It means a lot. yeah, I really appreciate whatever we can do to, you know, we're the kind of the small county here. So whatever we can do just to make sure that we're getting our outreach, that's much appreciated. So thank you.
Yeah, I'll echo that as well. I think there's a lot of outreach opportunity. You know, I mean, historically, we've maintained that the proportion of dollars available be distributed equitably amongst the three counties. And that just doesn't leave a huge amount after some of the other programming, so to speak, in the region. So good to know that staff will maintain that extra effort. That's good. Looking for other hands or feedback. Rich, did you have anything to add? Or
yeah, I would just say too that we do have a provision that if there's a regional project, San Benito could combine with, say, Santa Cruz or Monterey County for a project, and then the amount of dollars that would go to that, I think the limit is $400,000. So if there's a mutually beneficial project between the counties, then we'd be happy to look at that project, and that would go to the head of the line if it's a regional project.
Thank you. Other feedback, questions? Chris, I think you did a great job. This is well outlined. And again, want to thank you and recognize the input from the advisory committee. Okay, before I take anything else, okay, looking to the public at this point. Siri, you see anything?
No, I don't see anything, and nothing was received.
Okay, all right. So this is an action item, and I'm looking for a motion at this time. I see Mr. Marianne Carbone. Oh, yep, sir.
Before I begin, I mentioned the fact that we would be happy to include bike path development. Is that something that the board would like to see in this procedures? Because I'm happy to include that.
I mean, as a possibility, it doesn't hurt. Let's see, you know, board members.
Mr. Chair, Colin Kosmicki, I would certainly like to see that myself. Thank you.
Okay, so is that a motion to move the staff's recommendation, including bike path development as a consideration?
I'll second that motion.
So moved, yeah, as stated.
Okay, thank you. So moved by Kosmicki, seconded by
Story.
Sam Story, got it. Okay, great. We have a motion and a second. Will you call the roll there, Siri?
Will do. Director Kosmicki.
Aye.
Thank you. Director Carbone.
Aye.
Director Labar.
Aye.
Director Phillips.
Aye.
Director Brown.
Aye.
Director Coonerty.
Aye.
Director Lopez. Director Lopez?
Aye.
Thank you. Chair McChane?
Yes.
Director Story?
Aye.
Director Eskew?
Aye.
Unanimously passed, sir.
Thank you. We'll move on to our next item, and that is a report and approval of our racial equity statement. Thank you for the report you prepared in our packet, Rich. Why don't you go ahead and start this off?
Right. So thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the board. As the sign of the times, a number of agencies, I'm sure many of yours, have adopted similar statements in the past. I will remind you, as I did in the packet, that we did release a policy on non-discrimination and a complaint procedure for that and an accessibility policy back in October at our board meeting, which your board approved. This is a follow-up to that, which would receive prominence under our mission statement and vision statement on our website, which just reaffirms our commitment to racial equity and has the statement that would be published that would inform folks, especially folks that are applying for grants and the grantors that are giving us those grants, that we do have a racial equity statement and that is used. And in most cases, we have been doing this without the statement, but it is a priority. Most of the state funds that, going back to a question earlier, do require prioritization for disadvantaged communities and the like. So I think this is consistent with other air districts and entities. In fact, I sort of cobbled this together from a few. And I'd be happy if the board were to adopt this. If we wanted to get into specific wordsmithing of it or what have you, we could also table this until we have a retreat, the board retreat, where we could also look at our overall mission and vision statements and perhaps incorporate it into that. So it's at the pleasure of the board, but before you is a statement for your input as well as ultimate approval should you decide to do that today.
Thank you, Rich. Thanks for taking the step. Well put together. Let's see. We're just looking for questions from board members at this time. I don't see any. Okay. Let's go to the public. I don't see any.
No, and none.
Chair, this is Labar. I'd like to make a motion to approve.
Okay. Is there a second? I see Marianne's hand up.
Carbone will second.
Okay. Motion by Labar, seconded by Carbone. Siri, will you call the roll?
Yes, I will. Director Kosmicki.
Yes.
Director Lopez.
Yes.
Director Coonerty.
Yes.
Director Eskew.
Yes. And I think it would also be good to have this included as just a discussion topic so that we can chat about it a little bit at the retreat. But I mean, yes. Thank you.
Director Phillips. Director Phillips. Director Story.
Yes.
Yes.
Director Brown.
Phillips, yes.
Oh, thank you, sir. Director Phillips, I have you down. Chair McChane.
Yep.
Director Labar.
Aye.
Director Friend.
Aye.
Director Carbone.
Aye.
Passed unanimously.
Great. That concludes our regular agenda. Thank you, Rich, for taking those steps. We do have closed session. Les, do you anticipate we will have reportable action?
I do not anticipate a reportable action. I sent a separate invitation to closed session. I hope everybody got it. If you did not, please let me know and I will resend it.
Okay. So with that, we will stand adjourned here and re-adjourn to closed session. And just want to say thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye, Siri. Thank you.